We do a Mission Sunday once a year, and I'll speak for a few minutes, and we're also going to be highlighting some missionaries and some really cool things we're doing around the world. But the truth is, we have a mission. Have you ever had just even a mission practically, a mission to the grocery store, or a mission to drive across the town for an errand, and you just failed your mission? Anybody? A few years ago, Mandy and I were flying with a couple from our church. We were installing them as staff members at our Maui campus. And we were taking them around the island, and I could tell there's a lot of twists and turns, and I could tell, you know, maybe a little bit of car sickness was happening. So we stopped at a store, and I went over to their car, and I just said, hey, we're gonna go in and get some drinks. Do you guys want anything to drink? We're gonna take a break. And they looked at me and said, yeah, we would love something. Can you get us each a Coke and a water? A Coke and a water. And I was like, no way. That's what Mandy and I get. We get a Coke and a water because everyone knows the water cancels out the Coke, right? You get a Coke and then you get a water and you're healthy. So that's not how it works. But anyway, so I went in and got us Cokes and waters, got them Cokes and waters. But when I took theirs to them, I handed them their bag and they took out each a Coke and a water. And they looked at me like I was a crazy person. Like I was a crazy person. And I felt so weird about it. And I gave it to them and they're like, thanks. And I walked away and I went, well, they're ungrateful. Well, what's happening with this? They seem ungrateful with this. Well, a couple hours later, we stopped again in another store and out they come, not carrying a Coke and a water, but they each had a big coconut water that they were walking out of the store with. And I walked over to them and I said, hold on. When I asked you earlier if you wanted a drink, did you say coconut water? And they started dying laughing. They're like, yes, we were wondering why you brought out Cokes and waters. And I said, I thought you said Coke and a water. And the reason why I thought they said Coke and a water is because that's what Mandy and I get. So I was hearing them through the lens, right? Through the lens of what I expected them to say, my own reality. I was hearing the mission in the wrong way. And oftentimes when we think about the mission of God in the New Testament, the Great Commission that Jesus gives us, what we can't do is look at the Great Commission in the same way I looked at that mission that day. We can't listen to it with a veil in front of us and twisting it and making it about our reality of what we think it says. One of the most powerful parts of the video we just watched was the last missionary couple that said, the gospel doesn't give us a clause. To go if it's not dangerous. Go if it's not oppressive. The Bible just says to go. As you're going, and then some people in their life will actually go. It comes from the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said these words, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's the command, go. It wasn't just to the 12 disciples, it was to the hillside of all followers of Jesus, and he's speaking into the future to us today, go, go. It's a mandate of the church, but how do we do it? That's the mandate, but it's a big daunting task. So if you were here last week was Pentecost Sunday, and we looked back at the very first day of Pentecost where the Holy Spirit came into the world to empower believers. Today is really a part two to last week, because the answer to the question, how do we accomplish the Great Commission, is found in the day of Pentecost because of the power and boldness and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 gives us the answer. Jesus told them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. A lot of people stop there and make the empowerment of the Spirit about themselves. And I'm the destination of the Spirit, and it's to make me powerful or gifted. But there's a reason, and it continues. And you will be my witnesses in both Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and as far as the remotest parts of the earth. The Holy Spirit came to empower us to go into all the world and make disciples. The vision of our church here at Citizen Church that we introduced about 6 years ago says this: we are a Christ-centered, Spirit-led, kingdom-building movement committed to the physical and spiritual renewal of cities and nations, restoring hope and purpose to every person. The part that I just want to concentrate on just for a few minutes today before we talk to a few missionaries is the physical and spiritual renewal part. We're committed to taking the full gospel. Did you know that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is not just about spiritual escapism? It's actually first and foremost about the physical renewal of the earth and the spiritual renewal of people. Did you know in the end, at the end of Revelation, the believers don't just escape earth and God doesn't abandon the physical. He comes back and there's a new Jerusalem and he restores the earth. God is committed to the physical part of our lives and the spiritual part of our lives. And what we're committed to as a church in local missions and global missions is meeting physical needs and spiritual needs. It's about the full gospel, that our souls last for eternity, but God cares about our lives right now. The entire New Testament is about one thing: the Holy Spirit empowering the church of Jesus Christ to refresh, restore, and redeem the world. That's the entire story of the New Testament. Where does our story fit into that? Noel Yates, who is the president of World Help and the organization that we partner with in Thailand to help women escape from sex work in Thailand, she wrote this in her book called Both. For Earth to start looking a little more like heaven, we have to give help for today and we have to give hope for tomorrow. Hope for the physical tomorrow, but also hope for the eternal tomorrow. Many people in this world, many people, the vast majority of people will live their lives in poverty, trying their best to have the next meal. For most people in this world, the greatest hope is the hope for tomorrow in heaven. But God has commissioned us today to bring heaven to earth now. And we have to through physical and spiritual renewal. So here's what I want to look at, just these three R words in that last statement we're going to look at today. How do we bring help for today and hope for tomorrow? Number one, refresh. We are committed to being a church that refreshes people, that refreshes cities, nations, tribes, neighborhoods. Our goal here in Albuquerque, at this location, at our north location, everywhere we are, we want to be a blessing to the community. We want to bless people around where we are. We want people, when they think of the church, to think, wow, we love when the church comes into our neighborhood, but not only in Albuquerque, but around the world. The definition of refresh is this: give new strength or energy to renew, to fill with inspiration, or to supply fully, to supply fully. I love looking at the ministry of Jesus, because Jesus was, I mean, obviously the perfect model for how we treat people in the world and even our perspective on global missions. When Jesus was ministering to people, he's put such a high priority on meeting physical needs at the same time he would meet spiritual needs, a very high priority. One time he's talking to his followers and he says, every time you give someone a drink and you help someone, you're actually doing it for me. I am in that. When you're helping people, I'm there, I'm in that situation. And that comes from Matthew 25, 35 through 36. And he says this: I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your homes, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me, in prison and you visited me. What Jesus is saying is these aren't options for us to do. If we're going to be the church of Jesus Christ, Jesus is saying, I am involved in the situations where you care about people's well-being. Now, here, it's the entire reason Jesus stepped out of time and space and eternity to come and live a physical life, because he cares about the physical. And he's commissioned us, because there are definitely parts of the world who have it better off in the physical realm. And there is a high calling and responsibility for us to be like Jesus all over the earth. Examples of Jesus doing this, caring for the physical and spiritual: when he would heal someone of physical blindness, he would also heal them of spiritual blindness. He would preach to the crowds, but he also fed the crowds when they became hungry. He healed the paralyzed man and said, "Rise up and walk." But in the same conversation, he healed his paralyzed spirit by saying, "You're forgiven of your sins." It was always the tandem of, if you want the spirit of someone to be open to what God wants for their lives, and they're physically hungry, feed them. They're thirsty and they need clean water, give it to them. They need help, help them. And we are acting like Jesus to the person, so then they'll be open to what Jesus wants to do in their lives. Some of the ways we do that as a church, we saw in the videos. Dr. Mindy Monty here in this service here, well, she's my eye doctor. And what she's committed to doing with our church and partnership is in all of these missions trips around the world, taking a machine that we raise money for in our Heart for the House offering and doing eye exams all over the world, getting donations from different organizations and herself, taking suitcases of eyeglasses, doing eye exams, and allowing the physical eyes to open for the very first time to see in a way that many people for their entire lifetime never thought they could physically see. But what does that do? It opens the door to also see in a way that they've never seen before what God wants to do in their lives. It is the gospel in full action. It's physical and spiritual renewal. The second word is that it's renew. So we're committed to refresh, but we're also committed to renew. The definition of renew is to restore, to rebuild, to bring back to a state of health. One of the most important parts of world missions and what we're careful to make sure every time before we partner with someone, we wanna make sure that we are committed to a people group and a place for the long haul. We are not into flash in the pan missions to pat ourselves on the back and say, look what we did in a day. That's fine to do something in a day if it's partnered for a lifetime. We have to be committed for the long haul. People are worth it for the long haul. And in order to see actual renewal, it has to be long-term. It has to be. Some of the things we've done as a church to commit to this, about 14 or 15 years ago, we started partnering with an amazing organization outside of Chihuahua City called Lightshine, ministering to the Tatamata people. Over the course of over a decade of investment, we've been a big part of building buildings, purchasing property, helping people for the long haul. We're also committed to child sponsorships for the long haul, so children can be educated, they can be fed, they can also be taught the word of God, not just in a day, but for the long haul. We're committed in Kenya to building a medical treatment center for people that have no treatment capabilities at all for over 100 miles in the Digo tribe. We're committed to building this to meet physical needs for the long haul, so we can see spiritual needs met as well. 1 John 3:16 through 18, it says this, Jesus did not say this, but it's in the Bible. This is how we know what love is. Christ gave his life for us. We too then ought to give our lives for others. If we are rich and see others in need, yet close our hearts against them, how can we claim that we love God? My children, our love should not be just words and talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in actions. Actions speak louder than words. Words are important because it is through words that we communicate who Jesus is, but also it's through action that we show people who he is. Action matters. And I love that this scripture says, for life. Give your life to this. The original wording there implies the long haul. So many people say, I would die for my faith. But I think the real question is, can we actually live for it? I'll die for the Great Commission, but can we devote our lives to it while we're here, alive, asking God, what's my role in this Great Commission? Maybe you're not called to physically go somewhere, but at the same time, the mandate is there. That's why part of our missions here is to give, pray, and go. You can give to people, you can pray for people, but you can also go on short-term missions trips. But there are people in the room today, and I'm gonna say it at the end here and at North, we want you to pray and take it seriously and ask God, God, are you calling me to physically move and go somewhere where people are unreached and the gospel has not been preached? where the name of Jesus is not known, because if we don't go, who's going to tell them? I think we have to reopen the door to any possibility that God wants to do in our lives. The third word is redeem. Redeem. The word redeem means to liberate or rescue from captivity or bondage. At the end of the day, obviously there's a high priority on physical renewal and meeting needs, but at the end of the day, every person that's ever lived will close their eyes in this life and open them in eternity. And only through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, dying for our sins, will we spend eternity with him. At the end of the day, the message of the cross has to be communicated. And Jesus obviously put this as a massive, the priority on why he came. In Luke 19:10, he said this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." He absolutely met physical needs, but the ultimate reason he came was to seek and save people so we could spend eternity with him and we can be redeemed, liberated, set free in this life and the next. So the gospel must be preached and the church must be built. Our mission statement here at our church is this: to partner with God in building the church among all people everywhere. But if you're newer to our church, I want to make it clear. It's not just about church buildings when we say build the church. It's not just about going on a missions trip, building a building, and coming home. Buildings might be necessary at some point, but even in the construction of our North Campus, we told you all along the way, the building is great, but the building houses the church. The building is not the church. We're the church. What we're committed to building are communities of faith around the world who look like and reflect the New Testament church in the book of Acts and beyond. We want to build people. People are the church. We build buildings when they're necessary, but we build people all the time. About a year and a half ago, I had the opportunity, I've shared this before, to go to Greece with a group of pastors. When I got the phone call and said, hey, a friend of mine who oversaw a network of churches said, do you wanna go to Greece? And I said, well, yeah, how much? And he said, free. And I was like, what's the catch, man? No catch. And he said, we want to take you and we want to take a group of pastors in the footsteps of Paul, invest in you. And there's a few sponsors of this trip. One of the sponsors of the trip was the Assemblies of God World Missions. They are the fourth largest missionary sending body in the entire world. We're actually a part of a network of churches called the Assemblies of God. And on that trip, I met some new friends, Steve and Deanne Turley. Steve and Deanne had spent 30 years in Europe as missionaries in Belgium, in the last few years in Croatia, but had recently taken a job nationally in the headquarters of the Assemblies of God. Steve took the U.S. relations role, and his entire role now on the lead team for AG World Missions is to help bridge the gap between local churches and the need of missionaries around the world, and to how we can build that relationship and empower more missionaries to go around the world to preach the gospel. Well, I invited Steve and Deanne here today. They were gracious and said yes. So if you would help me welcome Steve Turley to the stage. Steve, I love you, man. And it was such a God thing that we met on that trip, and we've been buddies ever since. I've called you multiple times. I've probably bugged you a little bit too much, but
I'm
so intrigued at the capacity of so many of the things of what you're overseeing, the heart that you have for missions. Why don't you start off just by sharing a little bit about what you and Deanne have done over the last few decades in Europe?
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Dustin. It's a tremendous honor. We love Citizen Church. The community here is phenomenal. Our call began when I was in university. The Lord called us into missions, and we pursued that at that time, but it wasn't his timing. And so we went to work in the real world, in secular jobs, and we did that for 5 years. And after that initial call, it was 7 years before we got off the airplane in Brussels, Belgium. And we served there in Brussels with radio and television ministry, production development for Africa and parts of Asia for a decade. And then we transitioned with another missionary couple. We planted university student ministry in the country of Belgium. We did that for a decade. We pastored a local group there. and we transition that leadership to former students and also our national leadership to former students. In 2012, we came on board with the Europe region to help in special projects in certain areas while continuing to resource student ministry across Europe. And then during that time frame, the Lord drew our attention to the Balkan nations. That's former Yugoslavia, Romania, and Bulgaria. Yeah. And the Lord got us off the plane there in 2018. And during our time in Zagreb, of course, COVID happened. You guys remember that? Yeah. And so during that time, even during the COVID pandemic, our current executive director, John Easter, who at that time was the director of partnership development, called and asked if we would consider coming back to the U.S. He said, you've been facing the world for 30 plus years. Would you come back and work among our churches here in the U.S., strengthening their hands, connecting the dots between our missions force around the planet and our amazing communities of faith here in the U.S.? Well, we did our due diligence and deliberated that, and it was clear for us that that demotion was our lot, okay? And so we received that demotion, and we've been doing that for a little over 2 years now.
Wow. It's such a cool thing, too, when you talk about helping empower churches for this. And so that's your entire world now. Right. When you think about missionaries around the world, what are some of the best ways and mindsets that churches can have, individuals can have? It's not just churches as institutions. Individuals can support missionaries. So what are some of the best mentalities for us to have when supporting people?
It's such a privilege to get to celebrate with you through this video of some of the things that Citizen Church is doing, both locally and abroad. And I was so encouraged that you have so many on-the-ground church planning, ministering missionaries that you support on a monthly basis. And that is such a crucial, critical component to our methodology. Our normal rhythm is our Assemblies of God World missionaries, they will itinerate, they will deputate through our church's network, our network of churches, and raise their budget. And then they will go to the field for a period of 4 years. And then they come back to the U.S. and report. And this methodology is derived from what we find in Acts.
Yeah.
Paul and Barnabas and Paul and Silas and those teams and how they functioned. Because we are committed to this idea that ministry follows relationship.
Yeah.
Right? And it isn't just, what's the word called when you have a restaurant? It's a franchise. It's not just a franchise, right?
I was going to say food. I don't know.
Exactly. It's not a franchise model. It's a collaboration model.
Yeah,
it's a partnership model. And so as you link arms with our, 2,641 missionaries scattered around 153 countries on the planet on a monthly basis for the long haul.
The long haul.
It's significant, my friends, because local lasts longer. And the gospel, by definition, is incarnational, right? The gospel is not a program. It's not a system. It's a person.
Yep.
And so when we go and represent Christ in that context and learn the language and buy into a people group and a community and represent who he is there, that is the true gospel and undefiled.
Yeah, I love what you were saying a few minutes ago about how when you guys came back to the U.S., you turned over leadership not to new Americans, but to locals. And I love that because and you even consider Belgium home. You're like, when you were talking about going home, you were talking about Belgium. And, it's so cool, though, that the people became your people and you're raising up locals. And it only happens through the long haul approach. So some of the conversations that you and I had, Steve, and one of the reasons that we've been talking for, the last year and a half is a lot of the struggles that missionaries face. You even opened up with you and Deanne, some of the struggles you faced. When you're there for that long, the funding goes up and down and the pain points. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. As we work on the field, we got our head down trying to get our job done. And so when churches link arms with us, that allows us to do that. It's a great privilege. Deanne and I have never merited the support from a local church or from an individual. We just have it. It's not about the worker. It's about Christ and those who don't know him yet. They're worth it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it is inevitable during that four-year period that there's some fluctuation. It could be that a local church has a new leadership come in, a new pastor come in, that relationship isn't intact, right? Or maybe they're just re-envisioning their approach to a global presence, right? Mm-hmm. Their expression globally. But then we know as well that, dramatic reversals can happen as well. Mm-hmm. A family may move away that was, you know, a tremendous asset to their missions giving in that community of faith. And so as workers on the field, we're very mindful of the fact that ultimately, just as the Lord provides workers for the harvest, he provides the resources for those workers. But I can tell you, it's when you're on the ground with your head down trying to get the wheat in the barn,
yeah,
it's really challenging. And so I know, I don't steal your thunder.
I thought you just said weed. And then I thought, wait, no, you didn't say weed. He said wheat. Okay, I got stuck on that. And I was like, yeah, okay.
But did I?
I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. So I don't even know why I said that, but I got stuck. Marvelous. So there you go. You said wheat.
I love it.
Keep going.
We want to get the wheat in the barn. So as you come alongside these missionaries, your faithfulness is just so paramount. On the field, doing the work of the ministry, it takes the collaboration of the church as a whole.
Yeah.
And we see this model in the New Testament. Or other organizations have different models,
right,
and that's fine. But this is our model. And so thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for strengthening the hands of missionaries, yeah, who are incarnating Christ in that local context across the ocean.
This is a huge part of who we are. So if you're newer to our church, we give a big portion of our income to world missions. I mean, it's such a high priority in Scripture. And it's our heart too. We actually believe, like when I preach about giving, and I look at you as an individual and say, you cannot outgive God, and talking to you about generosity, well, we believe the same thing about the church also as an organization. We can't outgive God. And when we're giving to what God cares about, and one of the things you talked to me about in Greece, we were on the charter bus, we were talking about missionaries and we were driving around, and you talked about the need for keeping missionaries on the field in their places that they're serving, and how sometimes the giving will drop, especially for long-term missionaries. And how if that happens, oftentimes they're gonna have to come home, abandon the post, come back to the States, itinerate, re-raise the money, then go back, and all of that lost time. And my heart just broke when I heard that, because it's more common than not. And we've been talking really for the last year and a half about this. And one of the things we're toying around with, and I'm getting numbers right now from some of the leadership team, is I just had this thought, and I don't know for sure, but I'm just kind of seeing what you guys think about it. What would you think about praying about as a church, just saying, what could we dream? And what if Citizen Church for an entire year said, not on our watch, and we're gonna commit to no missionary having to come back, and we want to be the safeguard financially to keep every missionary, all 2,500, on the field, to where if the finances don't happen, they wouldn't have to come back. So we're working on that right now. And the moment you said that in Greece, it was like God just, you know, hit me in my heart and just said, what are you gonna do about that? What's the church gonna do about that? And I just had this, it was kept on coming into my mind, not on our watch, not on our watch. And I believe that if we say, God, this is what we're gonna commit to, some amazing things can happen. So we're working through some of that to see if it's possible, but man, we're gonna give it our best shot. And Steve, I so thank you for taking the time to be here. It means so much to us that you and Deanne came. You're a very busy guy. Your job's very important. It is. Thank you for your investment in us. Can you give Steve and Deanne another big round of applause?
Thank you.
Love you so much, Dustin, man. Also with us today, our Light Shine is the organization we work with the Tatamata people in Chihuahua City, and amazing missionaries, Chris and Heather Nickerson. If you would help me welcome Chris Nickerson to the stage. Chris, you mentioned that you guys have been there now for 15 years, and we kind of came on the scene just really shortly after you got there. We were changing some of how we do missions, and my dad was the pastor at that time, our leadership team. I was a part of those conversations, though, as the youth pastor, and we just felt collectively that call to you, call to the Tatamata people, and what an amazing journey it's been. Kind of just give us some updates and what we can celebrate with you for.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pastor Dustin. It was 15 years ago, and my wife, Heather, and I, and our four little kids and 21 Tatamata kids, and God has just done so much since then. But, you know, when you and Steve were talking, it just made me think, do you know the national average for churches in the United States is to give 0.25% to least reached people groups? And to hear your heart as you're saying, not on my watch, Man, you guys are so blessed to have this senior pastor. Just let me say that. But yeah, 15 years ago, you guys partnered to your specific mission field, your specific Taramata ghetto, and it's called Colonia Taramata, and you've been praying, you've been supporting. But guys, there are so many unsung heroes out there in your body, those child sponsors, those people who say, you know what? I'm going to sponsor this child in my Colonia, in Colonia Taramata. It's $40 a month, but you guys are the ones praying for these kids. You guys are the ones writing to them. You guys are the ones who, on occasion, coming down and visiting them. And now, lo and behold, 15 years later, these four-year-olds, five-year-olds, eight-year-olds, now they're the pillars of the church. Guys, they're the ones who are graduated from Bible college. They're the ones who are carrying the mission forward. You know, there's a little over 40 people on staff reaching the Taramatas. The majority of them are Taramata staff. That's through you guys. That's through child sponsorship.
There's 40 staff.
You know, yeah, it's actually approaching 50.
Unbelievable. This is what's so crazy, guys. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we can clap real quick to that. Here's what's so crazy, though. When we first got there, same time as you, basically you were getting there, I mean, we were being introduced to you, and you were probably told the same thing we were told. You can't reach the Taramata. I mean, there was a hardness to this, and what an undertaking, and to see the faithfulness and the seed planting and the fruit coming from this. Oh man, it's just awesome.
You know, our goal at the beginning, because yeah, they're a phenomenally hard-hearted people traditionally, and so our goal at the beginning, my goal at the beginning, lack of faith, learning from you guys along these 15 years, but my goal was, Lord, please, in 10 years, let there be a Taramata believer. That was, and
one.
Now, one. A Taramata believer. And now, guys, there's hundreds of kids in six colonias, multiple church plants, kids graduated from Bible college, and now these same kids that are now adults launching as missionaries into the native homelands of the Taramatas, the Sierra Madre Mountains. And so just absolutely incredible. I do want to say, there's a lot of child sponsorships open for your specific colonia, Colonia Taramata. So please, after service, come back to the tables, learn a little bit more.
It's a big deal. $40 a month is something I think we should work into our budgets and cut back on coffee, whatever it might be. Because what happens with that $40 is education, it's food, it's discipleship, it's care and love. When you talked about the hardness of hearts, that's mind-blowing to me now. Because the only thing in my mind when I think about Taramata people that we know there is joy, smiling, joyful.
Yeah,
and
for
it's,
sure.
It is so amazing to see what the Spirit of God does in people's lives. It's unbelievable.
It really is incredible. And God is just, he's redeemed so many foolish mistakes on my parts. He just decided, for whatever reason, you know, the fields amongst the Taramata are going to be white for harvest.
Yeah.
And so he's done this incredible thing. And so we are running 100 miles an hour all the time, which is why I'm so incredibly excited for this particular service.
Yes. We have something really cool we're going to announce in a couple minutes. When I got the chance to go this last August, it was the first time I had been there in 7 or 8 years, and everything you're saying is so true. My mind was blown. Looking at you kept on pointing at young adults. You know, when you guys first got here, Dustin, or Heather was, you were gone on that trip. But Heather was saying, when we first got here, there that child was one of the sponsored children, and now they're one of our staff. And it was so emotional to see, but so much of it, the biggest thing I was impressed with is the discipleship of what's happening. The true teaching of the Word of God that is just getting into the hearts of kids. We got to sit in some of the classrooms, and I'm listening to the teaching of what's being taught and the memorization of the kids, the light in their eyes. They're quoting back the Bible, and I'm looking at them going, I didn't even learn this in Bible college, and these kids are like theologians. And I called our team, honestly. I called our kids team. I said, guys, I'm sending our kids team down. We're learning from Chris Nickerson and what they're doing, discipling these kids, because we've got, in this United States, have to have that level of discipleship.
You know,
it's amazing.
Heather and I, we're so blessed. So our four kids, now three of them are off to university, but you know, they've been transformed through the ministry, through experiencing that disciple. My own kids have been discipled by Taramatas, and their lives have been transformed by Taramatas. Can you believe God's goodness?
That is like, unbelievable. That's just... So cool, so cool. Well, here's how we're going to end our service today. We mentioned that we have a great announcement. For the first time in our church's history, we have raised up and we are sending out our very first full-time missionary to partner with Chris and Heather at Light Shine with the Tatamata people. And so what we're gonna do when we end our service, we're about to end, we're gonna pray a biblical prayer in what we see in the book of Acts, how when people were sent out, the leaders of the church gathered and commissioned and prayed over this. But we're also gonna ask the congregation here and at North to join with us in prayer. So this is a very special person. She's in the house today. So if you would help me welcome Raquel Escobel to the stage, our first missionary as Citizen Church. So Raquel, you were saying earlier that the very first time you went down on a trip to visit the Tatamata was in 2014 on one of our young adult trips. And I bet you, 10 years ago, when you were driving down on that trip, you had no idea that this was gonna be a new home, that it was gonna be a home that you would move to, and the next time after this, you go down there, I mean, it's a full-time missionary. And what's been so amazing watching you through this process is the continual validation that this is God, it is serious, and that you're saying yes to something that God is actually calling you to do, and we could not be more thrilled. I also wanna say this practically because I forgot last service and I feel so bad. The shirt I'm wearing today is our mission shirt. All proceeds go to funding Raquel as a missionary to the Tatamata people. So pick up one of these shirts in both locations today in the atrium as you leave. But I'm gonna ask our leadership team that I talked to earlier to go ahead and come up as we pray over Raquel today. My wife Mandy, Sherilyn is our missions director here at the church. And then Bruce is one of our board members, but has also been a longtime member and leader on our missions team. And so in the book of Acts, what you see with the when the Apostle Paul and Barnabas were first sent out on their missionary journey, the leaders of the Antioch church gathered and they prayed an apostolic prayer, a prayer of sending over the missionary. So this is a day I'll always remember, Raquel, our very first missionary that we're sending out, and our prayers that there would be more. And what I said earlier is I want you to pray. What's God doing in your heart? Could God be speaking something radical to you? Open up our hearts and ask, because God's doing something radical in your life and you're gonna make a difference that matters for eternity. So in both locations, if you would stand with us today here and at North, and if you would stretch out your hand toward Raquel, I've asked Chris to lead off in prayer as a receiving prayer, receiving Raquel, and then I'm gonna close out with the commissioning.
Lord, you're such a good God. We love Raquel so much. Lord, what a blessing that you're allowing her to come down and to join us in reaching the Tatamatas. Lord, I thank you so much for Citizen, that they're willing to make this sacrifice, Lord, that they're willing to send such a high-level person down to invest in their mission field. Lord, I ask that you would bless Raquel, Lord, in these years that come as there are hardships as well as joys. Lord, I pray that you would just bless her, that you'd fill her with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would allow her to just always keep her eyes on you. Lord, just bless her. And Lord, bless Citizen as they come behind to such an incredible degree. Lord, please bless them. Please just continue moving powerfully by your Spirit in this community. But Lord, today is all about you. We love you. You're such an incredible God. Lord, allow us to continue to be your body of Christ empowered by your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name I pray.
God, we pray for Raquel today. And God, as we send her and commission her, God, today, this amazing young woman who has been a leader and pillar in our church, serving locally and globally, and God, we thank you. We thank you for the call of God on her life. And God, we thank you for her bold yes. It's not an easy yes, but it's a necessary yes when you call. And God, I pray as this amazing leader is being sent to the Tatamatas, God, I pray that your Spirit would walk with her, that the gifts of the Spirit would come alive in her life unlike she's never seen before. And God, I pray that every day in the ups and the downs, that there would be a reminders of that you have called her, that the call is real and the call is serious. God, she is an extension of this house. She is us as she goes. And God, we will be with her. We will be with her financially. We will be with her in prayer, with her in relationship. And God, today we fully commission Raquel, we send her, and we anoint her for your service. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Love you. Amen. Isn't it incredible to see that everything God is doing in our church? Are you guys excited for it? Awesome.